You're listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, so welcome back. Mark Emmert, the president of the NCAA, claims that being a university president is the hardest job in America. Well, we don't concur. So let's find out what jobs are harder. And everybody who calls in is going to be, their name is going to be put in a hopper, and we'll draw one name right after, and we will decide who is going to get that tenderloin from Pete's Fine Meats. And it is a big gift. There was a bunch of, you're getting a bunch of fillets out of this. So let's go. Clinton is first up here. Clinton, what's your job?
Hey, fellas, I'm going to throw out high-rise window cleaner.
Oh, yeah.
Are you a high-rise window cleaner?
For 15 years.
Really? That sucks.
So tell me, how do you get up there? We see people clean windows here, and there's some kind of pulley mechanism or something. How do you get up there?
Yeah, so that's the stages. Those start at the bottom, and you winch them up to the top and then clean on your way down. But we primarily do 30 stories and under, so we do rope rappelling and hauling 350 feet of rope.
Hold on, you do 30 stories and under?
With rope. And over 30 stories we do with the what you're talking about.
No, you do all the way up to 30 stories, right?
Well, we do over, but primarily under. And that's rope work, and rope is rope.
But you rappel. So you climb up the rope. Wow.
We go down.
But here's the thing.
You go down the rope. Yeah,
let's put him on hold. You got his information or whatever. You got everyone's information.
And listen.
This is the thing. When he said that they primarily just do 30 and under, that's the part that kind of, for me, kind of made it a little easier.
Really? From 29 floors you're going to fall? That's easier?
But, I mean, compared to, listen, if he would have said 40 and 50...
He does that, though. He said they do that, too.
He said he does it, but college presidents do that every day.
Oh, that's
they have
true.
To be college
They're
presidents.
They're repelling every day.
No offense. I'm going to go college president is harder than cleaning windows at 29 stories.
Right, right.
If you're all every day going 50 stories up, I would have said it's at least on par with being a college president.
Right.
But this guy doesn't do that every day. Every day you got to wake up and be a college president.
All right, we got one line open, so call in 713-780-3776 every time somebody gets off.
Once again, you don't have to win. You don't have to beat the college president to have a chance to win.
No. He's in the hopper.
It's a total
draw. He's in the hopper. Michael, what's your job?
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. This is a pretty scary and tough job. I sell dental insurance.
Dental insurance.
And let me tell you, I don't work for the big Humanas of the world. It's like, you know, I sell Skechers, not Nike or Adidas, right? So not only that, but I'm on 100% commission. So in the last few years, I mean, I've lost 60 to 70% of my income.
Man.
A college president is not going to do that.
Yeah, that's tough. Like, even during – now, I would say that some college presidents did take pay cuts. A lot of them probably did during the pandemic because a lot of money stopped coming into universities, although a lot of money kept going into universities. They just said – hey, you guys come stay on campus and then do your classes in your dorm. Like, why do we have to be at our dorm?
And we got full tuition?
You gotta pay full tuition. Hey, this isn't a college experience. Yeah. Shut up.
Well, Michael, I would have to argue that's not nearly. I mean, I get it. Dental insurance is a rough
game. I like
game.
The commission thing. 100% commission is tough. I would ask this. How many people does he deal with on a daily basis? And does he require safe spaces for dental insurance?
Does he have to look deep into their mouths, open their mouths, and smell their breath?
Just selling the insurance.
Dental insurance.
Just selling
I'm going to go with university president on that one.
Yeah, because here's the thing.
Yeah.
You're not actually in there getting even during with COVID and the biggest, fullest swing that they had to wear PPE. Do you have to wear PPEs to work?
No.
Probably not.
Rudolph is next. What's up, Rudolph?
Hey, guys. Truck driver here.
Okay, how long?
Truck driver.
From where to where?
10 years here in Houston, local.
Ooh, now that's tough. Ooh.
Houston.
Back and forth in his truck.
Have you ever gotten so angry in Houston traffic that, I mean.
Road rage is a mother.
Road rage is, that's a mother. I would say this, though. how angry is a university president after about stupid kids?
That's it. Let me ask you this question. Yeah. What's the worst thing
has
you've ever
rolled down the window and thrown orange juice at somebody else for cutting them off and flipping the finger?
You've done that to people?
You've thrown orange what?
Oh, yeah.
Orange crush?
Orange juice.
Okay, so let me put them on hold. Yeah. Here's what happens if you throw orange juice at a student. You're canceled. And you lose all of your money.
You lose
your job.
Yeah.
You can actually get canceled for playing the wrong Christmas song. So I'm just going to go ahead and say truck driver, probably a little easier. Look, I don't want it. Yeah. I don't want the job. Seems like the parking would be a challenge.
Yeah.
Seems like getting around a lot of corners is a big challenge.
Yeah, no, that's hard.
It's hard.
But it's the road rage that's the hardest thing.
It's
but
hard.
If I'm a university president and some stupid, like if I came into a university president's office, I'd be more pissed off than that because I got to deal with me. No. Yeah.
And you can fire down, shoot the finger and fire down orange juice on people.
You can't do that.
You can't do that as a university president.
No. Andrew is next. Andrew, what's your job?
Look, I don't know if you guys have ever worked with Jake Asman, Cody Stoops, and Brad Kellner at the same time, but that's a hard job. I'll hang up on this.
Yeah.
Do you work with them?
Yeah, he works with them. He's their producer.
Oh, that's Andrew Carlson. Holy crap.
Listen.
I was about to say, it is hard. How would that guy know?
How would that guy know? Well, now wait a minute.
He's got to.
Now, that's a more difficult job than university
president. It's more difficult, and he's got to line up guests, but you got Jason Barrett helping you, so university president.
Well, but you got to put up with those three all day. Every day.
Yeah, but how long? Does he have to live?
3 hours.
Does he have to
4
live?
4 hours every day.
Does he have to live here on campus?
Well, no, he doesn't.
Because university presidents have a house.
Well,
they have
a giant house on campus.
Yeah, but it's near all the crap. Like, they can't get away from it.
Near all the good times and parties? Yeah.
You think you're invited?
No.
No, it just turns into loud noise.
Tony's next.
Just loud noises.
Tony, what's up?
All right, man. So I have multiple jobs. So I'll let you take your pick on which one's going to be the university president. So first off, I'm a railroad conductor in my civilian job. And in my military job, I am a Army firefighter.
Army firefighter.
All right.
Okay, what does that mean? If Army bases catch on fire, you got to put them out?
Not necessarily. I mean, it depends on where we're at and what we're doing, but we do help the civilian community depending upon where we're at.
Okay. Mm. Well, thank you for your service. Yeah, we appreciate
that. Army Reserve?
But, railroad conductor?
Okay, listen.
Forget you have a tough job. What about all the people that have to wait for your train to go by?
Yeah, let's be honest about this.
Us.
Let's be honest about this. How hard is it to let trains go slow and then stop right in the middle while you're sitting there waiting right there near Highland Village on Westheimer? And you're is there any way I can get past?
I live right on the track.
That doesn't seem like it's hard to just let trains stop.
No, you piss me off more than I piss you
off. What does a conductor do? Who has a harder job?
Doesn't he go forward and backwards?
Okay, let me ask you: who has a harder conductor job? Tony
or
Mr. Smoky Pants, who's on top of Minute Maid Park and does this all the time? Come on, get loud!
That's all he does.
The same guy that does
Mr.
the same
Smoky
thing.
Pants, he does the same thing every time.
Your job's not even harder than a guy who's up on top of a building with a train full of pumpkins.
Sorry, Tone. Let's get Tyler in here. Tyler, what's your job?
Yeah, I don't know if y'all have ever heard of this job, but a sports talk radio interim program director. it's pretty hard.
What's hard about it?
Yeah, what's the toughest thing?
Say that again?
What's the toughest thing?
What's hard about it?
Sounds like easy. It's easy. Street.
Well, you know, we got guys telling us what to do. We've got to handle all the personalities at the station, kind of make people happy. You know,
can I ask you a question?
Very stressful.
Can I ask you a question? What time are you usually like? What's your hours of operation? When do you work?
I'm usually there probably about 9:30 to 6:00.
Okay, 9:30 to 6:00. Does free food ever come in that you get to eat?
Does free food?
Free food, yeah. Yeah.
Sometimes.
And how about the free beer that Courtney left you the last 2 days?
Free beer. Oh, yeah, you don't know this person. His name's just Tyler.
I don't know who Courtney is.
Okay, he's dead.
Beat it.
Free beer, free food.
Yeah,
you're out.
Beat it.
You're out. Because you know who doesn't get free food and free beer?
No.
University presidents.
No. Well, they can. Yeah, they can eat it. They're at the cafeteria.
There's a good chance of getting spit on.
Who's going to eat that crap, though?
There's a good chance of getting spit on.
Yeah.
Here you go. This is for you not giving us our what we want.
Mark is next. Mark, what's
your
job?
How many are we? What number are we? I'm not counting the two radio producers.
Yeah, we're not. The two radio.
This is five.
Numbnuts. They don't get in. What up, Mark? What's your job?
Hey, I work in retail management. Ooh. Deal with a lot of turnover, and I deal with Karens every day.
Oh my man. God. Karens. This is the toughest one I've
what
heard.
Kind
so
is,
far.
What is it, a restaurant? Is it a store? What is it?
Store.
It's a clothing store. Clothing so it's dealing store. With just the employee turnover, with everything that's happened the past year and a half, some employees show up, some don't. Yeah. And then dealing with customers or people that aren't happy.
This
so
sounds,
I'm sure that's
this,
close
this
to
does
what,
sound really hard. Let me ask you a quick question. What's your discount for clothing if you want to buy clothing from your own place?
Yeah.
20%.
Yeah, see.
20. And do you like, are you
university presidents get 20% off? No.
Probably the whole thing. But let me ask you just very quickly. Who's in charge of, are you also in charge of inventory too? Do you have to do that?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Put them on hold. So here's the thing. When you're in charge of inventory, you're the guy who runs everything. You could see Goodfellas on this. As soon as you're in charge of inventory, inventory. You're looking at them.
Entire racks go out the back door.
It goes in one door and it goes out the other doors. Yeah. You're in charge of inventory. You are probably on the take. And you get the 20% discount, which you can also use, so you get 20% discounts. You sell to your family at wholesale prices. You pocket the 20%. Listen, it feels like a racket. I'm going to be honest. The Karen thing is, that's tough. But university presidents deal with tons of Karens, and they don't have that opportunity to make additional money on top of their over $300,000 median salary here in the state of Texas. Where's their opportunity to grift?
Okay, let's get next one. We got an interesting one here on Twitter. Tom, what's up?
Hey, not much, guys. Well, I don't do this anymore, but I did this for a long time. I was a civilian contractor in the war zone.
A what kind of contractor?
Civilian contractor.
In a war zone.
In Afghanistan.
Oh, yeah, but you dealt with civilians, right?
Yeah, well, I was on the base, and, you know, the Taliban doesn't check if you're a civilian or military when they shoot their rockets in.
That's true. That is true. But I don't know how.
How long would you stay at any given time?
About 4 months at a time. I did it for over 4.5 years.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's try to poke some more holes in. Let's see.
No alcohol in country, 12-hour days, 7 days a week.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, guess what? University president, job never stops.
What was your firearm?
You get calls in the middle of the night about idiot students.
What was your firearm that they gave you? What were you allowed to carry?
We'd be fired if we carried a weapon. So we were unarmed.
We'll see.
We would be fired. Why would you be fired? Is it not open carry in Afghanistan?
No, apparently.
Is it concealed carry in Afghanistan?
Location. No, it's not open carry. We are classified as non-combatants and by under UN regulations.
Well, see, you're non-combatant. There you go. There you go.
Let me tell you, the Taliban really follows all those UN regulations.
Yeah, they do. The Taliban would never do
anything. What was the social life like there? Just a bunch of dudes and...
Seems like a lot of dudes.
I have a hard
That's
time.
A hard one. That's a hard
I'm
one.
I'm hard to poke a hole in that one.
Whew. How about this one? Robert Paulson says this. My job is a mom. I'm a mom. That makes me an alarm clock, cook, maid, waitress, teacher, nurse, handyman, security officer, photographer, counselor, chauffeur, event planner, personal assistant, ATM.
That's the hardest job in America. Male mom is the hardest job in America.
Yeah, what is that, Robert? Robert.
No, his job is harder than university president. Look at all the stuff he has to do.
I don't get holidays, sick days off.
That's right.
I work through the day and night. I'm on call 24/7 for the rest of my life. And that's just my first job, being a mom. That's a funny name for a mom, Robert. I know Robert, too.
It's called male mom.
Let's get Guero in here. Hey, Guero.
No, that's Guero.
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 What?
¡Qué paso! Man, we're in Texas. Damn, nobody knows Spanish around here.
Güero. 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 Güero.
Güero.
Güero.
Güero. Güero. White boy. No, I was, man, I had to call in. I decorate pool decks. Okay. I run a small business, like I said. So, supposed to be working this morning. I mean, these guys got it easy. One guy's working in the AC. I know he's dealing with Karen, but the other guy in the war zone, I'd like to know about the pay because I know that is tax free and probably with some good money.
Oh, no, yeah.
Tax free money.
Wow.
And you know what else you can do? And I've seen this on movies.
Out in another country.
I've seen this on movies, including Undercover Season 2 right now, Episode 6. You can also, at any point, go rogue, take all your you know, weaponry or whatever he's got is, you know, his, oh, we're selling, what did he say? What was his official job?
I don't know. I didn't watch it.
No. The Katam, who just called in.
Oh, civilian contractor.
No, his contractor. He could, at any point, route some of the weapons to the Sudan or other war-torn.
Out there in the middle of that area.
Yeah, I mean, he could, at any point, take what he's got and just go rogue and make a boatload and then just
you're watching a movie, but okay. Yeah. Or he didn't. Yeah.
No, that happened. Okay. That's been in lots of movies, actually.
And then one guy don't go to work till 9:30 to 6. That must be nice, man. I haven't had a day off in probably a month trying to do that. Because if I'm not working, then I'm trying to hunt.
What are you doing? What's your work?
Money, like this morning.
What's your work again?
You hadn't told us your job.
I own Impossible Art. I'm a new small business. I decorate pool decks and concrete for people.
Oh my God! Impossible Art? All right. So wait a minute. You go to the house when the dad, with the dad's at work. You got the mom at home.
Oh.
You're out there decorating the pool deck and everything else in their house.
So he's like the pool boy.
F out of here with that job.
Beat it.
Way harder.
So he's like the pool boy in porn movies.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, Impossible Art guys here.
You're out there in your Speedo.
Excuse me, man. Is there something you'd like for me to decorate out by the pool?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've got something you can decorate.
Yeah. Let me decorate your bedspread. All right, how many?
Bedspread Pollocks.
It's the last ones. That's it. Okay.
No one wants your Pollocks and all your Jackson Pollock bedspreads.
Tyler. What's Tyler? Oh, Mike is next. Mike, what's your job? Mike.
Oh, sorry, gentlemen. I'm sorry. Excuse me. I had to give a different name to protect my identity. During the day, I'm a mail carrier. So aside from delivering, 5 million Amazon packages to Katie moms and stuff in boxes every day, have you ever had to fight off a deprived middle-aged Christy? Who's already liquored up by 1 p.m., like, pretty much every day.
Well, John has.
Somehow knows exactly when you'll be pulling up to the mailbox.
Listen.
Is that hard,
John? No, I don't want to come inside and help.
Listen. You know what you do when somebody's liquored up and you're driving up to – you have a drink with them, all right? That's easy. That's an easy solve right there. And then all of a sudden –
yeah, but then you're
then
with
you're
somebody
friends.
Who's – yeah, yeah, but hold on. This is what you're not taking into account. I want you to go back and remember when you're going through – I have to take you back to a different time. When you are going through your phase of sobriety every year
– yeah, Lent.
That we call Lent. I want you to remember what it's like to be around liquored up people when you're
– it's not great.
It's not.
Well, that's why
do
I
you
say,
want to spend extra time with
That's why
with
I say
them?
You have to have a drink
he
with him.
He can't get liquored up with one drink. And not only that, he also could lose his job.
Well, but okay, that's the risk you take.
But with that said, you get to sit in a car and ride around
on.
In radio.
And,
you get to wear shorts.
And throw packages into the garbage half the time, okay, instead of delivering them. Because we know that's what you guys
too.
Do. You know? Yeah. 210 million packages stolen.
Oh, this package must have gotten stolen.
Beat.
You know what?
Nah. Come on,
who
university
says you
president.
Couldn't take a little something home with you?
Yeah. Kenny, what you got?
Wait, is that 10 or no?
That's okay. It. These two, and that's it. What's up, Kenny? Oh, Tyler's first.
Yeah, like okay. This university president, like, not only is he ignorant of all the people who do hard working jobs that are dangerous, but he's ignorant of the people who are the backbone of universities. I'm an adjunct professor, which is a nice word for part-time.
Ooh.
And half of all faculty nationwide are adjuncts. And what they do is they pay us very little. They don't give us health insurance. I've been without health insurance for 10 years. And I get paid per class $3,000 per semester, stretch over 4.5 months.
How
and
much?
A class could have 250 students.
$3,000 for, wait a minute,
for $1,000 per student. They'll make $250,000 on one class I'm teaching, and I get paid $3,000.
Why don't you drive for Amazon like that one guy did, or be a pool decorator?
Oh, by the way, you work part-time.
The rest of the time,
you're home scratching.
No, but you should be a pool artist.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's lots of... Have you heard some of these other jobs? They seem way easier than being a university
professor.
Adjunct professor sounds pretty terrible, if I'm being honest. I didn't know exactly what you...
$3,000 per semester?
Woo!
But you only work part time. University presidents work full time.
Did you see
what
he did, though? He took himself to the university and tried to go apples to apples against the president. Here's the thing that you're not responsible for: all these thousands of students, budgetary concerns, trying to hire Jimbo Fisher for $150 million for like 6 years.
Yeah.
You don't have to make these hard decisions.
That crap on you.
You don't have to make these hard decisions.
No.
You don't have to worry about conference. Do you have to worry about conference?
Show up at school sometimes.
Yeah, Tyler, do you have to worry about conference realignment?
No.
You don't have to. University professors do.
Yep.
Listen, it doesn't sound optimal from a salaried standpoint. It's not optimal per se.
And let me give you another clue. Don't get sick.
Yeah.
Tyler's finishing it up. What do you say, Tyler?
What's up, guys?
John,
I know I have respect for this, but rain or shine, people got to get their beer delivered to them.
Oh.
Beer delivery driver.
See, but here's the
deal.
You
ever picked up a full keg of beer?
I used to deliver 20, 30
kegs a day.
I delivered beer 30, every summer five. During college. I know what the beer
delivery. How hard was it?
Oh, my God. But it's backbreaking. Pulling up. On upstairs, you got to pull up the cases of beer.
So it sounds
on the
like we found
truck.
The hardest.
It's
so
the,
our last call, we
no,
found
but here's,
the job.
It's a labor of love, though. I mean, you're bringing people.
But it's a hard job.
It's a hard job.
Yeah.
It's a hard job. Like but it is a labor of love because you're bringing people something special every day.
I've heard ice truck drivers really, really dangerous. You know, I think anybody who has to deliver anything in some of those. Yeah, I know you have been. Is there anything worse than when you have to drive on those cliffside spiraling roads up a mountain when there's no,
right.
for whatever reason,
no guardrail?
There is no guardrail?
Yeah.
That seems like a terrible job.
No, that's a horrible job. But beer truck, I feel your pain. I did it. It's backbreaking. But you know what? I knew that at the end of the day, I was doing God's work. Okay.
Yeah.
Bringing beer to people.
How about this? Tom says, so this adjunct professor worked for 10 years for $3,000 a class with no benefits. I hope he wasn't teaching economics.
When we come back. D Pretty, I mean, that's a, I know, we're not doing that.
When we come back, we are going to, I mean, that's a really bad job. That's not a bad job. It's a great job, what you're doing. It's a hard job.
That's a hard job.
That's a hard job.
All right, at 9:22, we got a break. We will pull the winner, and I think Del Alole is going to join us here on the other side to talk a little college football. But first, right now, we got to talk about hoops. We got to talk about hoops, sporting goals, and equipment, and just the best damn goal you've ever seen in your life. I had one. I loved it. I mean, the installation was second to none. I mean, it wasn't going anywhere until we asked Keith, hey, Keith, can we move this? And he was like, yes, absolutely. I'll come and move it for you. And moved it to a neighbor's house because they had young kids and they wanted to play basketball. And it was perfect. And it's still there. And it's still great. And it still raises and lowers. And it's still not – there's still no rust because it's an unrustable stanchion. And you can get the driveway. You can get it stenciled with the free throw line and the lane and everything else. But the most fun thing is that you can raise and lower the goal so that you can dunk. The kids can actually have fun. They're going to love it. If you're looking for the best goal in the history of goals, there's one goal, and that's the Pro Dunk Hoops goal. Go to ProDunkHoops.com. Tell Keith Tate that you heard it right here. He makes the best goal. It's not even arguable. You will love the entire process. ProDunkHoops.com. That's ProDunkHoops.com.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
If you have a patio, I was out on the patio yesterday watching some tape of Minnesota defensive end. He's a pretty twitchy guy, kind of a quitty pay light. But I was out there on my patio. It was a humid night on the patio. The patio was a little wet because of the air. But I can tell you this, man, it's so fun just to turn a light on or off. And so I watched my game tape I had to watch. I wrote that up. I had a cocktail with me at night. I ate my dinner out there. And then when it was all done, I turned it off and watched my show on Netflix. And I got the sound system that runs all the music, or because I did have some Christmas music playing at one point yesterday too in the afternoon, and at night I'm listening to my show on the speakers. And it's just a great little oasis to have a space that was previously nothing turned into an oasis. And I mean television, sound system, you can have grill put in, you can have refrigerators, you can have fire pits, fireplaces, whatever you can conceive of, they can create for you. And frankly, they can do the conceiving for you as well. You're going to love the work they do, and you get dollar for dollar value back when it's time to sell your home. TexasCustomPatios.com.
All right, time to talk about Pajamagram. This Christmas, get the next best thing to wearing nothing at all, guys. Soft, silky, natural, nude pajamas available exclusively at Pajamagram. Sensuous and smooth, naturally nude pajamas feel just like her soft skin. Even more alluring than lingerie. The texture and touch of these pajamas, so seductive, both of you will love the feel of them. Leave nothing to the imagination. Naturally nude pajamas. Listen, I've gotten these Pajamagram pajamas before. The quality is second to none. You are going to love it. And the best thing, Pajamagram does the wrapping for you. Guys, you don't have to wrap. Free gift packaging. Order today. Pajamagram is also going to include a free matching naturally nude nightie with the purchase of naturally nude pajamas. That's free gift packaging and a free naturally nude nightie when you order today. In a year filled with the unexpected, get her something she can count on. But you need to order today because last year they sold out before Christmas. So do it now. And here's what you do. You go to pajamagram.com right now. Pajamagram.com. That's pajamagram.com to order naturally nude pajamas. And you tell them John Granato sent you.
Welcome back to The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, welcome back here. Del Olale is going to be joining, or whatever his name is, going to be joining us here in just a second. But you Twitchers, you can see us right now. We are pulling a name. I'm pulling the name right now of the winner of the tenderloin by Pete's Fine Meats. And it is Tony, the railroad conductor and army firefighter.
Okay, good.
That's great.
Yeah.
And here it is. I'll show it to you.
Okay. There you go. That's his name. We trust you. We believe you. We believe you.
Tony, way to go, Tone.
Don't forget, you can get your prime rib, your steaks, your brisket, beef tenderloin.
How about a turkey this holiday? How about whatever it is? Tenderloin, ham. What about your ham? You can get it at Pete's Fine Meats. Michael is unbelievable.
Tamales. Unbelievable. How do you say, what is a single? If there's tamales, what is a single?
A tamale.
What? Tamal. Did you know that? I learned that last year.
It is?
A tamal.
Well,
instead of tamale.
They didn't have those in Spain, so I don't know that.
You're not from Spain. You're from Chicago.
No, I learned Spanish in Spain.
Chicago, heavily Mexican.
Well, yeah. Really? A major city in the U.S. is heavily Mexican?
Didn't
realize that.
Yeah, but that's not in the South. Yeah.
New York?
No, Chicago. New York's not heavily Mexican.
Well, it's heavily Hispanic.
I'm saying Mexican.
Yeah.
Chicago has a huge Mexican contingency. There was I can't remember. I think it was in the 80s. Rick Bayless's, Skip Bayless's brother, Rick, who does interior Mexican food in Chicago. He's a famous chef, really famous chef. He talked about it on our food show we used to have back in the day. He said that it's like a really big, there was a huge group of Mexican immigrants who went there years ago and have raised their family there in Chicago.
Yeah.
And that's like Chicago has a vibrant Mexican food scene. It's not like ours though, less flavor.
Yeah, no, they're not the spicy nearly as much. Del, isn't this interesting conversation that we're having here?
Whoa, where is he?
Answer is no.
This is not enthralling, this conversation we're having.
No, Lance, mumbling through why Chicago has good Mexican food is not that interesting to me.
Del.
Sitting on hold
says
for 5
you.
Minutes.
Yeah, says Dell, who's been on hold listening to you apparently talking about Mexican food in Chicago, okay?
Well, you're welcome.
Well, we're not. We're not.
It's better than talking about new coaches at Miami who you steal from other teams.
And you didn't even want, by the way.
I'd rather talk about fit for 15 minutes over a guy who loses to Utah by combined score of 118 than whatever the hell that was while I was sitting on hold.
You did think, I know at one point we talked to you, I think it was kind of a consensus here, that beating Utah twice might be hard for Oregon. They weren't the best team. What did you think about how Georgia – did you think Georgia – was that all just – was that a Nick Saban special this last weekend, once again beating one of his former assistants, and this time an assistant who supposedly had the better team in Kirby Smart?
I don't know if it was a Nick Saban special. I think Georgia was fearful of what Alabama's outside receivers could do and didn't follow the formula of the teams who had made – gave Alabama issues. We saw against LSU. LSU would press those guys and bring blitzes. We saw against Auburn. They did the same thing. Georgia played a lot of off coverage, probably out of fear. Maybe they know something about this secondary that we didn't, and it kind of played out that way. And once their blitzes didn't get home, you're letting free releases happen for Mechie and Jameson Williams, and then that's going to be a problem. So I think they came in with a bad game plan. Now, it's hard to say that about a team who has been so successful defensively, but the formula was put out there by two lesser talented teams, and Georgia didn't follow it. And once Alabama got rolling, it was hard to stop.
Are you buying that Jameson Williams is the best receiver, should be the number one receiver taken in the draft?
I mean, he's only done it for a year, and he had to transfer from a place where he couldn't get on the field to do it. So I would probably still take both Olave and Garrett Wilson over him, but he's the most explosive receiver in the country. His ability to take something short and go 765, whatever how many yards it was against that Georgia defense was impressive. He's been doing it all year with explosive plays. I don't know if he's as refined in his route running or even his contested catch stuff that Wilson and Olave is, but there's a reason Alabama of all places has been got him. When you think they just can stack guys don't need a transfer wide receiver, they got him for a reason. But he was a guy sitting behind two other guys, and that's why he left. So I'll still take the Ohio State duo.
What do you think of Drake London, just out of curiosity? He put himself out there for he declared for the NFL draft. There's a lot of talk about Olave. There's a lot of talk about Wilson. What about London?
I mean, the dude who will make contested catches. It felt like he was a one-man bandit there. I mean, in a school that was dealing with a lot of turmoil that he consistently performed, I just wonder how many people have actually seen him play. I mean, now that's the scouts. Well, that's a different story, but he's out on the West Coast, right? And how many people actually saw him just because USC was bad. But for what I did see of him, that player, I loved his ability to just even fight off and make catches when he was being contested. I don't know about his separation stuff, but for a guy, if you want a big body guy, that should be someone to look at.
Yeah, he reminds me of Mike Evans a little bit. He's big. He's got strong hands. He's really, really good. Are you buying? We had a five-star on yesterday, and he's already got Michigan. But what you saw of Georgia against Alabama and what you saw of Michigan in the end of this season – it's six and what is it? It's six and a half, or what is it? Seven?
Seven.
Seven. Is that too much?
You know, because of what Michigan wants to do, I am less concerned about Georgia's defense there, because if going back to the one game where they looked really vulnerable against Alabama, Alabama played at pace. They got the ball out, and you saw on occasion where Jordan Davis, their all-world defensive tackle, could barely move. He's, I guess, a 2-3 play guy at a time, and usually those 2-3 plays are ending a drive as opposed to these 8-9 play drives, so they can't get off the field. With Michigan, it's going to be something where it feels like it's playing right into Georgia's hands, but I don't know if Georgia can move the football against Michigan. So I would say that I would probably take Michigan right now, and maybe that's recency bias, because now you see Ivan Drago's been cut and he's bleeding. I don't know if Georgia can be. I don't know if Michigan's rocky, or if that's just Alabama, but they're clearly not the defense we thought they were, unless Alabama's just such a bad matchup that once they see a different team, they'll get back to what they were. But I think the confidence for Georgia's been shaken, so I like Michigan and the number.
I'm gonna make this assertion that maybe the same Georgia team that has been second fiddle to Alabama subconsciously went into the game, and when things started getting tough, they almost slide into a little brother role again.
I wouldn't say that's wrong. They're up 10-0, and everything felt, all right, Georgia's finally found what it takes to beat Alabama. All the entire year has been validation, or at least this game is validation of this entire year. And then once Alabama struck back, it felt like Georgia's like, wait a minute, teams can score on us. We haven't seen that all year. They haven't seen much adversity, if any, at all. I mean, even against Clemson, their defense was in control the whole game. They were never fearful of Clemson. I think that's a team who, once they got down, and maybe less about Alabama and more about this entire year, they didn't know how to respond. Stetson Bennett threw a couple bad picks in the red zone when they were trying to come back. They just didn't have an answer for Alabama. Even when they got stops, their offense couldn't take advantage of it. And then Alabama will put a score on to kind of get some distance. I think it's a team who certainly has an issue with Bama, but I think more importantly, they didn't have adversity all year. And when it struck, they couldn't answer.
What are your favorite bowl games?
I want to see Ole Miss. Is it Baylor? Is that who they're playing?
Yeah,
I want to see Ole Miss versus Baylor, particularly because this is a Baylor team who, even just a couple years ago under Matt Rule, I think was that his final year, they made a Sugar Bowl against Georgia and didn't win that one. I want to see Ole Miss. I don't know if Jeff Levy will be there, so I'm interested to see how that plays out, just because there's two teams that are going to be really excited to be there. You don't get that often in games like that, where there's none of this judging who's excited to be there. Yeah. So I'm interested in that. And the Rose Bowl is always my thing. I'm from Southern California, so I always like the Rose Bowl. I don't particularly care about Ohio State that much. In fact, that might be a game where we're talking about motivation. Will Ohio State even have a lot of their NFL eligible players? I guess we'll find that out and see how much the Rose Bowl has. Because if you're opting out of the Rose Bowl, that would speak to why we probably need a 12-team playoff quicker than normal, because the Rose Bowl is supposed to be the big thing for the Big Ten. I know the Utah guys will play. I am interested to see if the guys from Ohio State will play. And I think we talked about it before, I want to see the Cougs. Auburn's not a glamour team, per se, considering the year they're having, but it's an SEC opponent. And if you can finish off your year winning 12 games, that's big. I mean, 11 was great. You want to bounce back from the loss at Cincinnati. If you can get to 12 for Dana, that's a big deal. When's the last time the Cougs? How many 12-win seasons do the Cougs have? So that would be kind of history making for them. So I'm interested in that.
And beating Auburn, that'd be great. An SEC team, even though without Bo Nix, but they still got a good football. Obviously, they got a good football team. They took Alabama to the wire, and just lost. So no, that'll be huge. I hate that it's at noon on the 28th in Birmingham.
Last question. Do you consider Kenny Pickett to be not only the most talented player in the nation, but also the smartest and headiest and slickest quarterback in the nation?
Kenny Pickett.
Kenny Pickett's not even the best quarterback in his own division. Tyler Van Dyke all day.
Stop. Did you see the fake slide move?
Yeah. He changed the game. He changed all of college football.
Cheating. Cheater. It's been banned already. Cheating.
No, it's not cheating. It was not cheating at the time. There was no rule against it. And here's what he did. And he took advantage. Oh, he's heady. Not stupid like Tyler Van Dyke.
He must be a coach.
He took advantage of those poor Wake Forest players. Cheating.
No. Oh, the smart kids? The smart kids from Wake Forest? Okay.
Yeah, because they're honest. And they didn't think somebody, some dirty guy from Pittsburgh would cheat like that. But it's over now. No more cheating in football.
Bitter.
Thank you. All we gotta worry about now.
Finally, the cheating stops. Lineman
faking injuries.
Yeah, no more cheating in football. Okay.
Were you happy with Cristobal at Miami? Have to be.
I'm not happy. I mean, but what am I going to do?
But you're never happy.
Well, I'm never happy, particularly about Cristobal. But what am I supposed to do? It's over now. They're paying him $80 million. You got to get on board until it gives you a reason not to. So I'm not going to fight it.
Okay, would you rather have him or Al Golden right now?
I'd rather you hang up the phone than make that comparison again, actually.
He is the next Al Golden.
No, he's not.
Yeah, he is. How did he do against Utah?
Golden never won a conference championship at Temple. Cut it out.
No. How did your boy do against Utah?
Don't make me argue for Chris Paul, because that would make me a hypocrite. I'm not going to argue for him.
Miami's going predictable.
But don't compare him to Al Golden.
We got rid of Al. We got a Manny. We got a Manny. And what do we replace a Manny with? What about a Mario? Mario Cristobal.
Lance, I'm not going to listen to you about college football. All you care about is what makes your wife happy. I'm not going to listen to you.
Listen, up next, Jose. After that, Juan. Okay, let's go. Way to go.
You better watch yourself.
No, I'm just saying. That's all I'm saying. Let's go. You got a trend going here. Let's keep going. Yeah. You got to
watch yourself, said Dell.
All right, we're done. Beat it, Dell. Dell Olale right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
I think it's easy to say he's the worst.
Have you ever broke a sink at a restaurant doing stuff?
No.
Okay, so, well, that happened. So we'll talk about that on the other side. Right now, though, we got no Mark. Oh, man. I love Mark Klein. I love Mark Klein's jewelry. I know that we're going to be there. We're going to be there on December 24th, and that's when you can pick up whatever it is that you order from Mark, whatever it is you send him. And somebody just asked me the other day, this is his cell phone. So you can text him, you can send him. I sent him a picture of something that I want. Okay, that's what you're looking for? Okay, I'll find that. He found it. He did it. Or he has the guys in the back do it, and it comes out perfect, and it's a lot less than that designer thing that she wants. But here's the deal. It's perfect, and you, my friends, are going to get it at a better price because that's what Mark does every single time. Here's his number, 832-316-1388. You can text him. You can tweet. You can call him. You can go by the store at 5868 Westheimer. It's at Fountain View and Westheimer. He's got thousands of items that you can choose from. Or you can tell him what you want, draw a picture of it, or send him a picture of it, and he'll find it. He'll get it to you, and he'll get it to you at a better price. It's all at Klein's Jewelry. Go to KleinsJewelry.com, 832-316-1388.
Why don't we take a break? You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
Hey, guys, I want to tell you about Cars for Kids. Cars for Kids, carsforkids.org. That's how you are able to help out kids. They don't do it with giving the cars to the kids. I think what they do is they use that to fund. Your donations go towards auctions of these different cars, whether they're running or not running, and then they fund their programs with Houston Can Academy. They do this all around the country with individual groups that are and different charities that are out there trying to help young people. And the one here in Houston, Houston Can Academy, is outstanding. And Cars for Kids says, look, if you have a car, a truck, a motorcycle, anything that you're looking for, anything that you want to get rid of, whether it's running or not running, they will come out there and they'll pick it up from you. So you may have something that you say, I don't want to pay for towing, and yet I've got this truck on my property that I'm not going to refurbish. I'm not going to redo it. I thought I was. I'm not going to, and now I can't get rid of it. Now you have an option. Cars for Kids will come out there, pick it up for you. If you get it done inside of December, you can get a tax write-off for this year as well. Write off the car and not the kid. Carsforkids.org.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Have you ever gone to a restaurant?
I have, yeah.
Have you ever gone to the bathroom in a restaurant?
I have.
Have you ever been in there with Catherine Trammell, who's 37, and had relations with her and broke the sink?
Not to my knowledge.
You haven't done that?
Not to my knowledge.
Well, Catherine Trammell did that. And here's the thing about it. She and her friend, who were in the bathroom and breaking the sink, went right to the bar and just sat and started drinking some more alcohol at the bar.
What else would you do?
It's a little ballsy if you want to know the truth, I say.
Well, what would you do?
Well, I just broke your sink. I'm going to try and get out of there right away before anybody catches me.
Oh, it's ballsy to stay there. Well, I mean, if they can't catch you, you could just say it was somebody else. How'd they catch her?
Because they just saw her leave the bathroom and then the sink was broke. Her and her friend
leave the bathroom. Oh, they went in there?
Yeah.
Hold on. Her and her friend.
Yeah, now she's charged criminally. Yeah, they don't say who the friend is.
Yeah, that's going to make the story more.
Right.
Do you have a mugshot I can look at?
Yeah. Actually, you know, what? I mean.
Where is she from? Midwest?
It's Florida.
Florida. I could see her breaking a sink.
Yeah, she broke a sink.
I could see she's got a little attitude that she could break a sink.
Good news, Lance. Pope Francis says extramarital sex sins aren't that serious. Not a big deal.
He did?
He said this. Sins of the flesh are not the most serious, the 84-year-old religious leader said regarding sex outside of marriage. Top transgressions instead include pride and hatred.
What about sloth?
Sloth is no good.
But what does he say about sloth? Hey,
listen. You know what?
Does he make a comment about sloth?
Something ain't so bad.
Okay, we know that's okay, but what about slothfulness? Like,
so he didn't say
like laying in a bed watching shows all day, eating food on a food towel so it doesn't get on your comforter. Is he good with that?
No, he's good with that. Actually, he's fine with it. Apparently, it's not. Have you ever been proud? Have you ever had hatred in your heart?
Yeah.
Those are bad. Sex outside of marriage, not so bad.
What if your hatred is in your heart for something related to gambling?
Oh, if you hate something because
Steeler fans have hatred in their heart for Chase Claypool?
Losing a big bet, no.
What about Chase Claypool and Steeler fans having hatred in their heart for him?
Well, that's probably you can't have hatred in your heart for Chase Claypool because he wanted to celebrate his first down. I think that's worse than having extramarital sex to me. There's a woman who's 48, and she has lived. And dates, she's living and dating as her 22-year-old daughter at university. For 2 years, Laura Oglesby paraded herself as a university student with a job at the city library and boyfriends who believed that she was 22. Does she look like 20? She's 22 to you? She's a rough 22.
She live in Ohio?
She's a 48-year-old Missouri woman.
That's a Midwestern. That's a Missouri mom.
That's a Missouri
I didn't
mom.
Have to know. That's a Midwestern mom right there.
She will spend 5 years in prison without parole as part of her plea agreement.
What did she do?
She just pretended to be her daughter. Well,
she had to have done more than that.
And she embezzled more than $255,000 in Social
she's
Security
She's going
fraud.
To prison for pretending to be a daughter?
She's got...
Oh, 250 G's for embezzling Social Security benefits. Yeah.
She's got two
tools. Oh, so she cheated the government.
She's two tools, okay?
She cheated the government.
Not only is she 48 posing as a 22-year-old, she's also embezzling Social Security.
Hello, fellow kids. What are we drinking tonight?
Wait, apparently she's also posing as someone old and getting Social Security.
She's fraudulent either way.
Two-tool player. That's right.
So she's got, it's that rare look.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure I buy it, but she's using that rare skill set to say, look, I could go 20-something or I could go 60-something. I'm like, nah, I'll go 60-something before 20-something.
No, she looks like...
Hey, you're not... This isn't the Americans.
How much time we got left here?
You're not Carrie Russell.
About 30? A male elephant at Karachi Safari Park turns out to be female after 12 years.
Okay.
Wait a minute now. It's an elephant. We couldn't tell.
Hey, can you put that on? Hold on. Can you do that?
Honestly.
Okay.
It's an elephant. We couldn't tell it was a female or a male. An elephant? Boy, we ain't that bright at this zoo.
No. You okay. Can't see that. You see Wally Wally's making a giant poo
right now.
And it looks like an elephant poo. Why do we let Daryl handle the elephants?
For 12
this
years?
This entire time he's been telling us Wally was their male elephant. No wonder he couldn't get any mating done. This is terrible.
And look at all the. We tried to put him with all these female elephants.
He kept telling us that that Rascal kept wrestling Wally. Mm. Now we know what really happened.
We couldn't tell an elephant. Karachi,
Come on, guys. Clean it up, Karachi. Come on.
Hey, here's a good time had by all. It's called the Golden Nugget in Lake Charles. Love it. You'll love it. We all love it. I swear when I said, oh, we're going back to the Golden Nugget, Lance and Tyler were like, we're going back. Let's go. Because it is awesome. The hotel is perfect, brand new. I mean, it still smells new. And the rooms are awesome. the restaurants. You've got a choice of 9 different restaurants as nice as you want, or burgers and chips, whatever it is that you're looking for. 24 hours a day, you got open restaurants there. You got the casino, which is as good as any Las Vegas casino. You got a poker room that's awesome. I had a great time there. I won, but that was a big reason why I had a great time. The golf course is fantastic. We had a great time playing that, Tyler and I. Tyler's not that great at golf and still had a good time. Okay. We had the pool is second to none with the cabanas and the lazy river and the warm water, all of it. If you're looking for a great time had by all, just 2 hours down the road, it's the Golden Nugget, Lake Charles. Because we're going to be legends. Gonna get their attention.
What we're doing here ain't just scary. Bye, bitch.
ESPN 97.5.